Well, we've been talking before opening day for the past couple of seasons, and each time the question has been, can the Twins turn things around after another 90 or more lost season? Is that answer going to be any different for 2015?
Well, it could be. And I think over the last couple of years, the depressing part was knowing that there was almost no chance that the answer to that question was yes. I'm still not terribly optimistic that this is the year. Just because I'm a little perplexed by some of the things, the moves the Twins have made, I get the sense that they're almost sort of trying to force themselves to believe they're ready to contend, when I think anyone outside the organization that looks at it kind of goes, you know, I'm not sure they're as close as they think they are. So, you know, they made some nice moves, brought in some good players. And, you know, just when I was kind of starting to talk myself into thinking maybe they can be a 75-win team or threaten to be 500, then Irvin Santana gets hit with an 80-game suspension for PED use that kind of takes a little of the air out of the balloon. So, you know, I still think, as we've been saying the last couple of years, this is a team that does have a bright future. I just still think it's a ways away.
Now, number two starter Irvin Santana, as you mentioned, was suspended. How big a setback is this for the Twins?
Well, it's pretty big on a couple different levels. You know, there was no guarantee that Irvin Santana was going to be a great pitcher, although he's been a pretty consistent guy over the last few years. He's a guy who gives you 200 innings, and he's a guy who gets a lot of strikeouts. And the Twins are a team that really needs strikeout pitchers, in particular because their defense isn't very good. So that was a nice addition from that standpoint. So it hurts just losing a guy who probably could have given him 200 innings with 175 strikeouts and, you know, maybe actually brought down that pretty inflated team ERA. But I think it hurts just as much in that I think it's just a blow to the franchise, the team, the players, and certainly the fans. Everyone, just when they're kind of trying to, like I said, talk themselves into thinking maybe this year's got a chance to be a little different. A blow like that really just, and coming, you know, 2 days before opening day, I just think the timing is so bad that I really think it also hurts the team on a, you know, intangible level where it's just, what else can go wrong? I mean, as much as we can have criticized the Twins over the years for mistakes that they've made, and they've made their share of mistakes, how many of these things have happened that, I mean, obviously this is Irvin Santana's fault, but from the team standpoint, where you go, you know, whether it's Justin Morneau and Joe Mauer getting concussions or all these weird things that seem to happen to them, it's just another bad break that this team didn't need.
You mentioned that you were perplexed by some of the moves that the Twins have made over the offseason. What were some of the things that the Twins did that you find most perplexing?
Well, it wasn't so much the moves that they made as far as, you know, like I said, I think the Irvin Santana signing is a good signing. I get bringing in Torii Hunter. I don't think he's going to be a huge difference maker, but I also don't think that was a bad move. It's not like they really had someone ready to go in right field whose path he is blocking. He's not terribly expensive. I think that move is fine. What is a little frustrating as a fan is to hear the team continue to say, we've got such a bright future because we've got all these stud prospects and minor leaguers, and even hearing people outside the organization say, wow, the Twins have one of the best farm systems in baseball. They've got all this great young talent. Well, then use it. You know, I mean, I look at the opening day roster and so many of their young guys got sent back to the minors. And I mean, some of them, you know, Byron Buxton, who some people think is the best prospect in all of baseball, I'm not saying he needs to be up in Minnesota. I don't think he's ready yet. But when you look at, you know, Alex Meyer and Trevor May, two starting pitchers they traded for a couple years ago, they traded Denard Span and Ben Revere, two pretty good major leaguers, to get them. Those guys are 25 years old, and they still haven't, I guess May debuted briefly last year, but they still haven't opened the season with the Twins. What are they waiting for? You know, I understand Aaron Hicks has been pretty frustrating, disappointing in his last 2 years in center field, but the answer is to give the center field job to a couple of 30-year-old journeymen. You know, and then you look at their bullpen. It's just full of guys who are 29, 30, 31, 32 years old and just don't have any upside. Well, if you're saying you don't have any room for some of these starting pitching prospects, why not start them in the bullpen? Let them sort of get acclimated to the major leagues a little bit. I mean, I look at this roster and you hear the Twins talking about how young they are and how bright their future is, and there's only four guys on the entire roster who are under the age of 25. There's still a lot of old guys on this team, and, you know, it's one thing for a guy like Torii Hunter or Glenn Perkins, Phil Hughes, those guys, you understand, they're going to be big contributors, but to have guys who are older and also don't seem to have much chance of producing a whole lot, I just really don't understand what the purpose is of bringing in a guy like that.
In looking at those prospects like Alex Meyer or Byron Buxton, do you think that we'll see them in a Twins uniform before the season is over?
Well, I don't know about Buxton. It's certainly possible. I mean, he lost an entire year basically last year to a variety of injuries, which, again, that's something that was beyond the Twins' control. Miguel Sano, their second-best prospect, missed all of last season with rotator cuff surgery. I mean, those are just really bad breaks. But, you know, and as much as everything I just said about being disappointed about the Twins putting so many of these replacement-level players on their roster, I'm hopeful that there is actually a plan here, and that the plan is, hey, let's let these young guys go down to the minors, start the season in the minor leagues, build up some confidence, sort of hit the ground running a little bit, and maybe the Twins know that these older guys really aren't going to produce that much. They're just keeping the seat warm till those other guys are ready. And so whether it's in June or July or August, I'm hopeful at some point that, yeah, they finally say, all right, we finally have to sort of give the keys to the car to the younger guys, and that they call up a lot of them en masse. And then, at least then, we can finally sort of say, okay, this is the team. These are the guys that are supposed to get this franchise turned around in the right direction. Until all those guys are up in Minnesota playing for the Twins, everyone is still kind of looking around going, well, when is this thing going to happen?
Now, you mentioned pitcher Phil Hughes, the number one starter. He's pitching today's game with the Tigers, against the Tigers. What can we expect from Phil Hughes?
That's a good question because, you know, he had a fantastic season last year. I mean, he set the all-time major league record for strikeout-to-walk ratio. That's really something. I think the Twins were pretty optimistic that he was a guy who could outperform what he had done previously. I mean, he was coming off a really bad year in New York, but he seemed like a good fit for Target Field, seemed like a guy who maybe would benefit from getting away from New York. I don't think they quite expected him to pitch as well as he did, and now it's a little difficult to expect him to repeat that, you know, to go out and have 200 strikeouts with 10 walks again next year. I mean, that's a tough thing to do, but, you know, watching him pitch last year and everything that the Twins say about him and that other teams and scouts say about him, there's really nothing to suggest that it was a fluke. In fact, if he'd had a better defense behind him, he probably would have won 20 games and competed for the Cy Young Award. So I think you can expect him to continue to be a legit number one starter. I just don't know if, like I said, you can expect him to be quite as amazing as he was in certain areas last year.
Now the Twins have a new manager, Paul Molitor. How do you think things will be different under his leadership compared to Ron Gardenhire, who managed the Twins for 13 seasons?
That's probably actually what I'm most anxious to discover myself watching this team, because it's been very hard to get a read on that from Molitor. I feel like, you know, there's obviously been, over the last 10 years or so, sort of a movement in Major League Baseball to move towards, whether you want to call it analytics or saber metrics or just advanced statistics, whatever. I think people by now know what we're talking about when people use those kind of words. And the Twins have been one of the most outspoken teams in kind of saying, we're not on board with this yet. And now I think having four straight years of 90 losses, they're finally starting to, you know, examine themselves a little bit and say, okay, maybe we do need to adapt and try to catch up to the times a little bit. And Paul Molitor has said a lot of things publicly in interviews and whatnot, suggesting that he's that guy, that he's that sort of student of the game and wants to learn new things and wants to get all the pieces of information he can, whether it's scouting, statistics, video, whatever. That's very encouraging to hear, because as much as everyone liked Ron Gardenhire personally, it got a little bit old kind of hearing him basically say, well, you know, I don't need that stuff. I have everything I need. Well, if that was the case, you would think he would have done a little bit better. On the other hand, though, watching a lot of the games and seeing, hearing some of the things from some of the team itself and the players, there's still a lot of Ron Gardenhire in Paul Molitor. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because I think Gardy still is a good manager when you put a good team around him. But, you know, will Paul Molitor platoon guys that, you know, hit better against one side of the plate? Or, you know, how often will he bunt? How will he use his bullpen compared? I mean, obviously, Gardy had an extremely rigid system for using his bullpen that sometimes seemed like more trouble than it was worth. So all those things are things that we don't really know yet how Paul Molitor is going to handle them until we, you know, watch him do it for a few weeks and then get a sense for it.
What do the Twins need to get from Joe Mauer this season?
A lot more than they did last year. You know, that was a tough thing to watch, really, because, you know, we all had seen what a great player Joe Mauer had been through most of his career, and certainly putting up the kind of numbers he did as a catcher made him a very unique player. But with the injuries, in particular the concussion, everyone just sort of assumed, hey, moving to first base is going to be great for him. He's going to be able to stay healthy, and geez, maybe he'll put up better numbers. You know, maybe he'll hit more home runs because he'll be stronger and fresher and all those sorts of things. And he goes out and has by far the worst year of his career. And he's 32 years old now, so it's fair to start wondering if, well, maybe that's it. Maybe his best years are behind him, and this is the player who he is for the rest of his career. If that turns out to be the case, that's a tough blow for the Twins because they'll be paying $20 million a year to a first baseman who hits like a shortstop, you know, and that's not what they want. So, you know, I don't think Joe Mauer's ever going to go back to that MVP guy in 2009 that hit 360 with 28 home runs. But if he can bounce back to being that, you know, world-class singles hitter that we've seen over the years, if he can hit 315, 320, and draw 100 walks, have a 400 on-base percentage, that's not as valuable from a first baseman as it is from a catcher, but it's still valuable. That's still a really productive player. And the Twins, you know, they were fifth in the league in runs scored last year with the guy that's supposed to be their best player having a terrible, terrible season. So if he bounces back and has just the usual Joe Mauer season, I think that would be a pretty big boost to him.
What are some areas of optimism for the Twins? I'm thinking of perhaps second baseman Brian Dozier, who was put up some pretty good numbers last year, and catcher Kurt Suzuki. What will we see similar things from them this season?
Well, if Ervin Santana hadn't got suspended, I would have said the biggest positive is that it looks like they finally have a pretty credible rotation. It can still be decent. Like we said, Phil Hughes is a number one guy. I think it's a pretty safe bet that Ricky Nolasco is going to bounce back. I don't think he's going to be an all-star or anything, but I just can't imagine him being as bad as he was last year. Then you throw in Kyle Gibson, who had a pretty decent season last year. Tommy Malone was terrible when the Twins traded for him, but he's got a track record. So if you were able to throw Santana into that mix, that's a pretty good rotation. Now you kind of have to reevaluate that with him not being there for the first half of the season. As far as other positives, like you said, I think the first place I would go is second base. Brian Dozier is, you know, the Twins obviously signed into a multi-year contract, and I can see why. I mean, he's looking like the kind of guy you build a team around. Obviously, he's, you know, a power hitter, defense, can steal bases, a great leadoff guy. I guess they're not going to bat him leadoff, but scores a ton of runs. Great guy in the clubhouse, great guy out in the community. I mean, he's just sort of one of those dudes that brings everything a team would want to have. And I still think he can get better. You know, I mean, he only hit like 245 last year. Great on base percentage, good power numbers. But if he can get up to where he's a 270, 280 hitter, you've got a legit superstar player, and that would be great for the Twins. Oswaldo Arcia is still only 23, and he's been with the team for 2 years now. Hit 20 homers last year. He would be the number one prospect in a lot of other systems. The Twins just have so many other good young guys that he almost kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit. And, you know, they've got some good infielders too. Trevor Plouffe isn't going to be an all-star, but I think he's established that he's just a solid guy who would fit in the middle of any lineup in the big leagues. I really like Eddie Escobar, who is probably going to go back to utility role this year, but he's a guy they just got in basically a throw-in in the Francisco Liriano trade, and it turned out to be a nice player. And then Danny Santana, the shortstop, will really be interesting to watch because, I mean, he had a Rookie of the Year caliber season last year. He hit 319, he hit for power, played pretty good defense, whether he was at shortstop or in center field. If he does that again, I mean, he's an extremely valuable player. The problem is, in 6-7 years in the minor leagues, he never put up numbers even close to what he did with the Twins last year. So I think it's probably a good bet that he's going to, you know, come back down to earth a little bit. But still, if he could hit 275 and play good defense at shortstop, I mean, I don't probably need to tell you how hard it's been for the Twins to find a decent shortstop over the years. So that would be a big positive for him.
So in a nutshell, Matt, it sounds like even though we're not going to see the Twins win the pennant or anything, there's still some good things to watch for Twins fans this season.
There are. I really think this year the Twins should at the very least be more interesting and more fun to watch, especially if, like I said, they do eventually at some point in the middle of the season finally open the doors to those young players, let them come up and get their feet wet, because I think if those kids can, you know, get some momentum built up to where they have a feel for the major league game, it's possible you could go into 2016 and say, okay, this year the Twins do have a chance to compete for a pennant.
All right. Well, Matt, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
No problem, Carl. Thanks.